How Is Your Run Today is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance.
Go to healthiq.com/HWYRT to support this show and see if you qualify. Brian, we've been flooded with emails and calls, and
I know, I can't even get that door closed anymore. It's bulging.
What door?
The email door. I can't close it. It's like the
phone,
hinges are busting.
The phone's been off the hook, and we don't even have a number.
No, I took it off the hook.
And you know what people are clamoring for?
Warmer temperatures?
More Love Fest.
Oh, well, we can provide that because we have all of the remaining interviews that we did. All of them are fantastic. We also have the winners of the big money.
I can't wait to see who wins.
We also interviewed Dan Fitzgerald, the chief heartbreaker, and we have bonus content.
There's even more?
There's bonus content.
Well, that's exciting. Before we begin, Brian, how was your run today?
Today I went to the Heartbreak Hill Running Company, Peter.
Because you liked it so much during Love Fest.
Yes. And our friend, Fast Funny Alan London, convinced me that it was a good idea to go to the 60-minute long and strong class.
I've done it.
And she said, well, you know, I can't run. I can only walk. I'm 2.5 months no running, 2 months to go.
Walking's good enough.
And she said, well, I always have a few people in my class who walk it. And whether she was telling the truth or not, which now I'm dubious that she was actually telling me the truth. But I went anyway, and I enjoyed myself. It was good. It was good to be out there with a room full of people working hard.
Yes.
They put in a lot of effort and a lot of miles, and I just sort of like enjoyed the music and strolled along. But it was fun. I was in my own little realm. I'm glad I did it.
Don't do too much too soon.
What does that mean? Walking?
Yes.
No, I have to walk.
Let me wheel you around.
No. I have to be on the bicycle.
Get on my shoulders.
I have to walk. No. No.
That's the way it was at the Love Fest.
Well, that's because I wasn't tall enough to reach a microphone.
Well, that's right. It was too crowded.
You were on the step stool and I was on your shoulders.
Brian, I'm in week 1 of 8 of Hal Higdon's intermediate 5K training program.
What is this? Explain this to me.
I decided to follow along. I had heard some good buzz about Mr. Hal Higdon.
You mean you took my advice to actually train for the 5K that you're going to be running with Tim Sullivan?
That's correct.
Nice.
Well, Tim Sullivan's starting to scare me with his speed. And I'm worried that as his guide, it's going to look weird that I'm 15 to 20 feet behind him.
You're not going to be guiding very well.
No.
So look out behind you, Tim.
Tim, I'm still back here, buddy. I'm still back here.
Let me know what's up there.
Yep. Yeah, that's not what I want to do.
That's not how it works,
That's not
Peter.
What I want to do.
So you need to be running at the same pace as Tim. So get on it.
So that's why this was week 1 of 8 of Hal Higdon's intermediate level 5K training program, also being done at this moment by social media guru Anna Brooks, who's crushing it.
I have a question for
Hello,
you.
Hello, yes.
How many miles are you training per week for a 5K? I don't remember. It was so long ago that I did training for a 5K.
No, that's fine. In these early weeks, it's like 15 to 20 miles a week.
But that's very respectable.
And for me, it's, for example, I just did my long run.
Yes.
And it was 5 miles. That's the longest I've actually run since December. So I've had low miles.
Well, sure. That happens in the winter. If you're not training for the Boston Marathon,
Would you?
Yeah, you're putting in low miles.
So it's very exciting. And I started my first week off with a nice little run with that Igor Babushkin.
How was that?
It was lovely. It was a very good time.
Was it?
Yes.
Did you talk about things?
We talked about you.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
What did you say?
He was trying to plot how to get you out.
So you could be the new co-host?
Yeah, and I said, don't, you know,
won't be hard. I'll just have to ask. Say, just
no,
ask.
No machinations needed, man. No, just let this thing naturally take its course.
Yeah, just ask Brian if you can replace him as co-host, and I'll say, yep.
And then his counterpart will be George Woodward.
Oh, that'll be a new show?
That'll be a new
show. Can we just produce that then?
Yeah, well, Danielle the Sheep will be the producer.
I'm beginning to think Danielle the Sheep is actually not a person, but a conglomeration of people, like many, many people.
I think it's an entity. Yeah.
Right.
It's a larger, that's right.
It's a crew.
It's a crew.
And that's what's happening. I will tell you that the artist in residence, Andrea Bonnie-Gould, ran with the Harlem Run crew down there in the great state of New York recently.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Field trip?
Yeah, well, you know that she is now an ambassador for the Run for All Women this year.
I had heard that. Congratulations.
And we'll be hearing more from her and about what their plans are for the upcoming year. But as part of her journey as ambassador, she went down and ran in the Harlem Run crew. So shout outs all around.
Congratulations. Let's hope to have her on the show soon.
I'll see if I can find her.
She's very busy. Speaking of busy, we should probably get back to the Love Fest. People are waited with bated breath for the continuation.
You should use Listerine, really.
It's gross, isn't it?
It's disgusting.
Am I too close to you right now?
Yeah.
I apologize.
You could bait a hook with that breath.
It's all the onions. Speaking of being busy, Brian, let's get back now to that wonderful day on the eve of Valentine's Day when we were love-festing it up.
At the Heartbreak Hill Running Company in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
The 2018, everybody in Boston loves to run Love Fest, part deux.
Hi, I'm Brian.
Craig.
Nice to meet you.
Craig, you are the only HWRT listener to book a reservation for tonight.
Well, I knew it was very exclusive, so I wanted to make sure I got on the list.
Because we weren't going to bring the mics. We weren't going to do any of this. But then you wrote your email, and I said to Brian, Brian, at least Craig's coming to be recorded. So thank you for showing up.
And after I woke up, I said, okay, Peter, let's
Craig,
go.
You're a little winded. You just did a class. Was that your first time taking the treadmill class here at Heartbreakers?
It was. Actually, it's the first time I've been on a treadmill in years.
It was different. It is different.
It was good. It's definitely a challenging class.
It's a disco party.
Yeah, you could say that.
Was it motivating?
It was. Yeah, they had a couple of the different coaches on the screen and a lot of music. It was good.
What are your normal runs? Are you training for Boston right now?
I am. I'm running for the Celtic Shamrock Foundation as a charity runner.
Oh, excellent. Talk a little bit about that foundation.
Yeah, so it's the Boston Celtic Shamrock Foundation. They benefit all the children in the area. They partner with a lot of different organizations, the Three Point Foundation, the Boston Children's Hospital, Boys and Girls Club, and the team's, I think it's right around 16 people this year.
Oh, that's huge.
And is this your first time running Boston?
This is my first time running a marathon.
At all? Okay, you picked the right one.
Yeah. I've heard that.
You've also picked the right podcast to come on and tell that story, so that was excellent. Kudos. Are you going to win the raffle tonight?
I hope so, but probably not. It's a good thing you brought the microphones, because there's got to be 100 people here.
It's a lot of people here tonight, right?
Yes.
How is the fundraising going? Which is harder, training or fundraising?
The fundraising.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, very stressful.
Without question.
It's very stressful.
The training has been stressful. I keep thinking I'm getting injured, but you can't deny the fundraising amount, and it's very stressful.
The fundraising does not yield to injuries.
The great news is I have raised $7,500 so far.
Oh,
so
that's
great. So we're on the right track.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Now, I'm only going to judge you by your height on this. Are you in the Clyde Army?
I am. I admittedly, I'm around 202.
You're going to fall right out. No, that's my
I'm
goal.
I'm almost out.
That's my goal. I want to get down.
I'm going to say by the end of February, you'll be out of the Clyde Army. He'll be done.
By March 1, you're almost there. What's your long run this week?
This week is 16.
Yeah, you're coming right on out. Yeah,
I'll be out for like 6 hours.
Prior to this, what was your longest distance run?
15.
Let me rephrase that. Prior to training for this marathon.
Oh, for this experience.
This experience, what was your longest distance run?
So I actually did the Millinocket half.
Okay. Was it this year?
This year.
Oh, my goodness.
Were we there?
You were there.
Could you see us?
I did see you.
Did I look all right?
You looked good.
What point in the race did you see me?
I actually saw you at the Moose Drop-In.
Before or after?
I assume it was after.
Yeah, it looked good then.
None of us remember what
we
happened after the race.
We were all sitting down afterwards. No, I was worried you saw me.
It was snowing.
The
lighting was really nice. So
yeah,
it was
flattering there. Yeah. And was that a good half for you?
It was. It was a great half. That was actually my PR on my second half marathon.
Hey, congratulations! That's a tough course to PR on.
I didn't realize that half of it was a dirt road.
Yeah, that's a golden road.
Maybe better you didn't know.
It's true.
Right? You just sort of did it. That's the beauty of being sort of new to the sport. Like, you PR all over the place.
That's
it's
right.
Great.
It is encouraging.
Yeah.
That's why you keep upping the distance. That's why ultras happen, is so that you can PR
still
in a new
PR
event.
On a distance, yeah.
Okay. One question, which is very important and very top of mind for me right now, which is, when you're ready to strap on the feed bag after a long run, what is it that's going in your mouth?
I do a lot of my long runs in Newton.
Yes.
And there's a place, Sandwich Works, right down the street. So I actually got like a massive 1 pound chili dog over the weekend.
Okay, so
Peter, it was extremely satisfying.
When he said that, his hands moved
he
out.
He went
like,
really wide
really,
out.
Really, that's
like
a
2 feet
big chili
like,
dog.
Yeah.
2 feet would be an exaggeration, but
so
a solid foot.
You might not be coming out of the Clyde Army as fast as we thought.
That's
I could
right.
be wrong.
Yeah, strap it
I appreciate
the
your optimism.
Works against
I
you.
I think you're gonna go with me on this. If it's 1 month from today, 5 weeks from today, 6 weeks from today, the very end of March, 1st of April, you're going to scratch 194. But by marathon day, back up to 198. Those are my guesses.
A man speaks from experience.
Yeah. I do want to start the race 190-ish.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah.
Because I dipped down to 198 and then ran it at 204.
That's awesome.
And it felt wonderful. Yeah. That was great. And I've never seen that number since. But it'll come back, Brian.
It'll
you
come back.
Mark my words.
All right, good luck tonight.
Good luck on the marathon. Good luck on your charity.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming out.
My pleasure. Thanks
awesome.
A lot, guys.
My name is Catherine Harris. I go by Kathy.
Are you a heartbreaker, Kathy?
I am.
Have you been a heartbreaker long?
No.
Are you running the Boston Marathon?
I am.
Are you running with a charity?
I am.
What charity?
MGH Pediatric Oncology.
Wow, fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about that charity?
Tell us a little bit about MGH Pediatric Oncology? Yeah.
And why'd you pick that charity?
Yeah, so that charity actually kind of picked me in a serendipitous way. MGH, the Department for Children Who Are Suffering from Cancer. And MGH does an amazing job of really wrapping their arms around the child and their family through the whole process. I ended up on the Gary Letourneau team, which is two of the 100 bibs for MGH go to the Gary Letourneau team. And Gary contracted cancer when he was a teenager and fought it for 17 years, finally losing his battle with cancer in his 30s. Yeah. But it becomes so close to the staff there that his doctor actually ended up becoming ordained to marry him than his wife. And just really a really tight-knit, you know, organization. So, and also speaks a lot to who Gary was and who he, what an amazing individual he was.
Okay. And how many times have you run Boston?
This is my first.
So this will be your first time?
This will be my first. Boston,
so it's happening right now.
It'll be my first marathon.
Okay. So this is really a new thing for you.
Yeah.
Were you always a runner?
I've been a runner for a long time. I ran two halves in 2013 and said I would never run a full.
No, because that'd be crazy.
Yeah. Like, who would do that?
That's twice that distance.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Right?
I know people who have said that before.
I said it out loud. I said it as I finished my first half. This is stupid.
Yeah.
I can't do more than this.
It's crazy. Everything changed in 2014. So I'm a public historian, so I work in public spaces, sites of public memory, museums, things like that. And in 2014, I came down to the BPL to take oral histories from people who had survived the bombing the year before. Mm-hmm. And I sat and listened to their stories, and many of them talked about how they had not even talked about any of this for a year, even with their closest relatives. And we sort of sat and listened to how this trauma had sort of stayed with them. And as runners, that's, you know, it sort of lives in our body anyway. And as runners, that's really an important thing to have that sort of stuck in your body. So I left that experience just really overwhelmed with, you know, all. And went home and looked at the calendar and said, okay, I want to run one, and I want it to be Boston, and saw that it was on my 40th birthday in 2018. So
karma.
That was it. I just circled it and said, I got to figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so not to layer it up, not to make it heavy for you or anything, right? Not to make it super important.
So then, obviously, you're going to win the marathon. Yeah,
you're obviously.
Yeah. This
obviously.
Is your
Have
year.
You told Shalane that she shouldn't even bother?
Right.
I keep, like, tweeting her, and she's not responding.
Yeah,
can't
we know the feeling.
Out.
We've been doing that
we
for
know
two months.
Like, well, maybe you guys can finish hand in hand.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So just to, like, take that to one other level, the really cool thing about being on the MGH team is that they do a really amazing program, psychological program for their kids and their kids' families around what to do when they're dealing with going through cancer. And so that was really important to me. My mom had cancer when I was little. Her mom died from cancer when she was little, and that sort of stayed with us. Something that I've sort of been, you know, just recently sort of revisiting in my life. So it's powerful that they're sort of wrapping their arms around these families at such a young age and helping them through psychologically. And they do that. They sort of wrap themselves around the kids. This is really, really an amazing program for people that are suffering from cancer at a young age.
How big is the team? Do you know that?
There's 100.
Yeah. It's 100. Okay.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
That's very big.
What has been the most surprising thing about either fundraising or training for your first marathon? Or what have you learned about yourself?
Well, I'll answer both. I mean, training for the marathon, I've been really excited to get involved with Heartbreak and to learn more about just getting your body in shape and what that looks like and what training is like. I'm really, really grateful for that opportunity. And then as far as fundraising, I'm running under the banner of helping people deal with the psychological trauma of cancer and how that lives with us and the importance of working through that. And I think that the evolution of that with MGH and working with them to try to talk about that and look at what's happening in that field has been really a blessing for me. And just to like feel like I can kind of give back in a way, you know, something that has personally affected my life. And I think a little unique, you know. I don't know anyone personally that had cancer as a child, and I'm not close to anyone that did. So I think this is a really great way for me to be involved with them.
Fantastic. What are you looking forward to after the marathon?
Well, it's my birthday.
Oh,
yes.
Right, okay. So any after parties are basically birthday parties.
Right. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. My parents are coming. There's some friends coming.
It
should be a great weekend.
You have set up a fantastic situation. This is going to be great.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then I'm mostly looking forward to turning on Boylston.
Yeah.
And I started tearing up a couple days ago when I was out running. Like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to turn down Boylston and cross the finish line. And
yeah, it's a little bit longer than you think, too.
Is it?
Yeah, don't get fooled.
Plenty of time to cry.
You come up a hair from Hereford to Hill, by the way.
Yeah.
So that hurts. You don't know that happens.
And that finish line is a lot further off than you thought
it was.
It's
like, why isn't it right here?
You're like, this is only 3 blocks.
Oh my gosh, it's so much more. But it's great.
But you're going to soak up every second of it.
It's so great. It's so great.
So good to meet you. Good luck tonight.
Thank you so much. Good luck tonight.
And good luck in the rest of
your drawing
training.
Is soon.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
My name is Julia Joy Morgillo. I go by on Instagram Julia_joysofrunning.
Nice. So,
kind of play off my first full name there.
Julia, I have to say, you're wearing very tall sort of boots.
Yeah.
Burgundy boots.
Yeah.
Leather boots. Those don't look like very comfortable running attire.
Not run here. I came from work. I work in the Fenway area in the Boston.
But you ran today. How was your run?
I ran this morning today. So I got a little DOMS still for my long run on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I did long run Sunday instead of Saturday because I had friends in town on Saturday. Yep. So little DOMS still, as they say, that delayed onset muscle soreness.
I get it all the time.
Yeah.
I get it just from waking up in the morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
So are you running the Boston Marathon this year?
I'm not running Boston, unfortunately.
Have you run in the past?
I qualified for Boston.
What?
But I'm one of those 5,000 people who unfortunately will not be able to run because they missed their qualifier by the cutoff.
Oh!
So I ran a qualifier at Hartford 2016. I ran 3:32.11,
wow,
which is 2 minutes and 49 seconds under my qualifier.
But?
And you need to be 3 minutes and
24 seconds. No, no.
So I missed it by 34 seconds.
No, round down.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And is it the case, do you know what you need to be under when you qualify?
No.
You don't know until...
No, and like I'm a statistician. I work in finance, so I run a lot of numbers. And so I literally crunched every number from like the 2013 year of the bombing on of like, okay, they had this many registrants this year. And they, okay, like the odds of me needing to be more than 3 minutes under are X, Y, and Z. So like when I set my goals for Hartford, I kind of set the goal of, okay, I'd like to be a 3:30, and then I get into the race and I'm there for a little bit, and then, you know, somewhere along the way the race plan goes out the window and you're just like, just qualify, just right, qualify. And at any point in time, you got to be happy with yourself when you do qualify. So I was.
Yes.
And I thought 2 minutes and 49 seconds, that's a pretty big cushion. It technically was like about a 40-second cushion from the largest cutoff window that they had had before, because the largest cutoff window was 2015.
Okay.
You had to be about 2 minutes and 11 seconds under. So I thought, I've got enough of a cutoff time. A friend of mine had asked me if I was going to do that Charles marathon where you like do the 10 loops.
Okay, yes.
Around the Charles, and I'm like, who wants to run around the Charles 10 times? Like, right, no way.
I know a few people who would
I know,
do it.
I know, I know a ton of people
no,
who did.
No, some people like the comfort of knowing what
yeah,
it
that's
is.
Right.
Yeah,
And it's less daunting if it's the same thing, you know, a loop course four, five, six times.
Yeah, but I feel even more like a gerbil or a hamster or whatever.
But some people hate point to point. They think that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real mind thing.
Yeah, but in Boston...
It's Boston,
The nice thing, though, now is I didn't live in Boston at the time. I now live in Boston, and I run the course a lot, and like... You got all those pretty houses along like mile 13 through 18.
It's a good
so even
time.
Though, you know, you're running up all those hills and your knees are killing you, it's
so
like,
now,
look at that porch.
In 8 weeks when Boston comes, where will you watch it and will you be okay?
So I will be somewhere near Cleveland Circle. So City Side just better have a lot of Harpoon on tap, because there's a chance I'll probably be drinking from the tap.
Okay, so there's a little bit of an issue. Okay.
Yeah. No,
so
I mean,
there.
I'm ready to see Shalene come through and like fist pump for her and give her a yes.
Yes.
I edited myself for the podcast.
Yes.
So,
no, it was excellent.
Know, I'm like totally like Shalene for mayor. Tom Brady lost the Super Bowl. Shalene for mayor. She's going to win Boston.
She'd have to come back and become a Boston resident, I think, to become mayor.
She's
so
definitely.
Now, and you're on the edge of being a heartbreaker?
The edge, yeah.
You're about to do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Definitely.
Does this event help you focus on that?
Absolutely, yeah.
And do you see yourself qualifying for next year?
So I'm doing Providence, and I...
When is that race?
It's May 6th, so it's a similar trip.
That's my birthday.
Oh, nice! Yeah. That's a good date.
I probably won't be running.
Yeah, so day after Cinco de Mayo and everything like that. Day after the Kentucky
You'll be turning
Derby.
30, Brian.
That's at 29, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So,
The Providence Marathon, May 6th, and what is your target time this time?
My time that I'm telling people is 3:27.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to take 5 minutes off of what my current
PR
is.
You are ambitious.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I have another time that's like below that I'm not telling people.
Although I have to say, if I had qualified by that big a margin and still didn't get into the Boston Marathon, I would be all out to go absolutely as fast as
you
go
so
possible.
There's some part of me that wants to just go like balls to the walls and like, you know, like... rip off the gloves and hammer
Absolutely.
It down. But if there's one thing I've learned from Dan and coming to Heartbreaker, like, you gotta be smart. You gotta, like, temper yourself at times and have confidence in your training.
That's right.
But you can't get too cocky because the marathon is a beast. And
you don't know what kind
distance.
Of day it's going to be.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't know how you're going to feel that morning you wake up.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to respect the distance. You got to respect whatever God gives you in terms of the weather. And at some point, though, you do have to take the race into your own hands and just, you know, I'm going to do this.
Oh. You're going to destroy it.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
Good luck. I will be probably lying in a hammock and thinking great thoughts for you during
Thank
the Providence
you.
Marathon.
Thank you.
So awesome.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you guys.
Thank you.
Come on, break.
Peter.
Yes, Brian.
Do you know anything about life insurance?
I do. I know that Health IQ can save customers up to 33% because did you know that physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, a 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to those people who are more inactive?
If I was reading actuarial tables for an insurance company, I would want physically active, healthy people to be life insurance customers.
I would think you would. You know, I just got my bill for my home insurance.
Yeah.
And it made me think about my life insurance. Now, here's the story. I'm very healthy for
right.
for my size and for my personality type.
I don't know what that
means. No, I
am.
No,
those
I am.
Those are odd caveats.
And let me tell you something. Having like a low heart rate or really good race stats or a lot of miles per week, that will help me get a better annual premium on my life insurance.
Peter, a lot of people have asked me, said, what is this Health IQ? Is this like some fly-by-night deal? And I will tell you this. Health IQ is the official life insurance partner of USA Weightlifting, Roadrunners Club of America,
Boom.
US Master Swimming,
Kabloom,
USA Triathlon,
Hello,
Tennis Industry Association,
These are real things, Brian.
American Trail Running Association, and USA Racquetball.
Yeah, there's something going on here, man.
So it's the real deal.
It's real deal, McCoy.
Listen, all you need to do is go on the website or give them a call.
That's right.
Either take the test or submit some of your information, your race stats, your
That's
Strava
right.
information, that kind of stuff, and see if you qualify for special rates
You'll be
because
saving
you're healthy.
Money in your restful sleep.
Your healthy sleep.
Your healthy sleep.
Just go to healthiq.com/HWYRT.
Healthy life. Healthy life insurance.
Come on, break.
My name's Karina Hathaway.
How was your run today?
Intense.
What yeah. was it?
So I just did the class.
Indoors here, okay,
yeah,
at the running studio.
Yeah, I did my first 15-mile run yesterday, though.
Oh!
So I kind of intended to walk through this whole class, but I'm not good at not trying, so I got there, and I was like, all right. And then Corinne was next to me, and she's like so
oh,
hardcore.
She goes.
I was like, all right, I'm going to go next to her.
So what is your connection to Corinne, the Boston's running unicorn?
Oh, I photographed Corinne and Jeremy's wedding 3 or 4 years ago, whenever they got married, yeah.
And now she's convinced you to run the Boston Marathon?
Yeah, how does that happen?
More or less. Well, when I did their engagement shoot, they were both really avid Fitbitters, and so their Fitbits were part of their engagement shoot, and they were just talking about how they walk everywhere and how they log something like 10 miles a day in competition with each other. And then through their wedding process, like, we talked more and more, and I had been a runner before, so I started following her on Strava, and like she ran the Boston Marathon, and I was like, I'm going to start running again too.
Awesome.
And so, yeah.
So now are you a heartbreaker now, officially?
I've always been a heartbreaker, no.
Quick-witted, Peter.
Very good.
But I'm running Boston this year, so.
Are you running it for a charity team, or
yes,
did you qualify? Oh, for Tufts? Okay.
Yeah.
How's
yeah.
your fundraising?
That's why I'm here. I'm hoping to make it better.
So you wish to win.
I wish to win. That would be great.
Yeah, it's hard, right? It's very stressful.
Yes, definitely.
Well, the natural question to ask is, which is more difficult, training for your first marathon or fundraising?
Fundraising, I think, is definitely
Yeah, you
more
think
difficult.
About it more often in some weird way because the training is so physical and you have to just sort of clock in, do it.
Yep.
It's not so mentally taxing,
no.
whereas you can't do a lot about the fundraising
yeah.
on a day-to-day.
Exactly.
You have to sort of plan events or send your messages, but you can't attack it the same way as you do your training.
Yeah, it's not so much about you as much as it is about nagging people.
That's
which is
right.
horrible. Asking
but
you people
get,
for
you
money.
Get to a point where, like, yeah, asking people for money is not that hard.
No.
It just happens.
I think it's hard.
No, but wait, keep going.
Okay.
Because I guarantee you, come March, like, 15th, you're like, yeah, tax day. Sorry, everybody. How about someone donates to my cause? Anybody? 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 Resend. Resend.
Yeah.
You'll see.
What kind of exercise or training were you doing prior to training for the Boston Marathon?
what kind of exercises did I do? Yeah. So the reason I started running again was I got sucked into a 30 days of yoga challenge.
Okay. What? That doesn't sound so terrible. That sounds pretty good.
It was pretty good. I was having a lot of problems physically from doing weddings for the past 10 years. So doing the yoga was more about strength training and like getting back into my body. And I didn't believe in it. I was like, this is stupid. Mm. But like 2 weeks into it, I was like, oh my God, I can like stand and my wrists feel great and I bet I can start running now. So,
All right.
That's what happened.
Wow. So when you do, so you're a professional wedding photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you shoot just here in Massachusetts or New England or do you travel?
I travel for weddings.
Okay.
I usually stay within the country. Like I go to San Francisco and Philadelphia about once a year. I'm in Maine a lot, Albany. I just shot a wedding in St. Lucia. That was fun.
So how does that happen? How does someone in St. Lucia find out about you?
Go
ahead.
At this point, it's mostly referrals from people whose weddings I've shot in the past. There's no where I advertise that I'm like, I will go to Europe to shoot your wedding. It's more like, hey, you shot my friend's wedding and I'm getting married here. Will you come? Like, yes, totally.
Awesome.
I will come.
Now, when you go for a travel,
yeah.
Do you try to book a couple different there? Like, do you stay there for 2 weeks and do two different weddings or only one?
That would be awesome. But I can't imagine trying to find another wedding in the same place. Usually when I go abroad for weddings, I like to do, like, Americans' weddings in another country because I don't want to deal with the customs of a different culture in the weddings there. But I usually try to build in a day or two on either side.
For yourself.
For myself, yeah, exactly.
And do you do other types of photography, too, either professionally or for yourself?
Yeah, I do some families and some portraits, but my bread and butter is weddings. Okay. I do about 20 a year.
Wow.
Yeah. What's the busiest season?
Usually around August to October. October is like banana town.
So let's say I'm in the market to get married, but I want to save.
Yeah.
What's the best time of year to go off-season for a marriage?
Off-season?
Yeah.
November to March-ish.
So basically Boston Marathon training season.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
Note to self, Brian.
But it's perfect because you'll be like super fit too and like, you know, like looking great for your wedding.
Except your wedding photographer may be exhausted from her long run.
That's right, yeah. Who owns the negatives?
Me.
That's the answer, right?
That's
just the way it is.
All right, what have you learned about yourself or about running through this process so far?
What have I learned about myself is that my body is not nearly as fragile as I have thought it has been in the past couple of years. It's amazing to me that I can run 2.5 hours, but standing for an 8-hour running is still difficult. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to balance that and trying to make it better. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, good luck with the raffle.
They're about to announce the winner. Let's see if it's going to be you.
Yeah. There's Dan. Awesome. He's going
to
do it.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice
Thank
to
you.
Meet you
so much.
Good luck.
Did everybody who's raising funds for the Boston Marathon get a raffle ticket? Okay. Are you present? You have your ticket in your hand?
I'm starting to sweat
this
a little
This is so exciting. Andrea Bonnie Gould, quickly, who do you think is going to win?
The Gorilla.
I don't think the Gorilla is allowed to compete. Anna Brooks, quickly. Anna Brooks, who do you think is going to win?
I don't know. There are too many choices. My head is breaking.
I'm going to say it's going to be a heartbreaker.
It's a raffle, not a competition.
Oh, that's
right,
true.
Right.
Okay.
I think the odds are in their favor.
Dan, what's the kitty up to?
Oh, you're right. That's a great question. We are at... We did this last year. Do you guys remember what we got?
It's a lot less than this year, I'll tell you that.
Last year was, I don't know, 800 maybe?
Yeah, it's really close to $1,000.
Yeah.
This year we have smashed that out of the park. We are at 1,940.
Whoa!
This is intense.
I am freaking out.
This is going to make or break someone's fundraising.
Four, three, six.
What's the number?
Everybody.
9. 4, 3, 6, 9.
9, 7.
Whoa!
Somebody who has not yet been on the show.
Yeah. Love Fest!
Lauren Buckley.
Now, you were the winner of the Bill's Tips money.
Yes.
Gorilla Bill.
Yes. Congratulations.
But I will take the other prize if it's still an option.
No, you cannot. They won't give
or
that
I disagree.
But were you disappointed that you didn't win the big money and then you think it was over?
I did not rip up my ticket. The girl in front of me almost did, but I think I would have pieced hers together again.
Mm-hmm.
It's still exciting.
Who are you running for?
Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
Fantastic.
For their annual fund.
And how many times have you run Boston prior to this?
This is my first time and first marathon ever.
Whoa.
Wow, this is exciting. And will this help you with your fundraising?
Yes, 100% yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you guys for hosting this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
We are just glad to be indoors. It's very cold outside.
Yes, I'm sorry you're by the door. That can be fun. Why wouldn't they have put you back there?
We're fine.
Okay.
We were back there last year. We got lost. Yeah. We like it here.
Yeah. So instead you can trip people on the way out.
Yeah, exactly.
We kept getting on treadmills and we got exhausted by the end of the night. That's the problem.
That's
right.
Did you do a class tonight?
I did. I just got out of the 8 o'clock one, so I'm feeling sweaty but excited.
Yeah.
Well, you should. You're very lucky tonight.
Yes.
Congratulations. Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you.
You too.
Stephanie Baker.
Stephanie, you are the big winner tonight. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Who are you running for?
So I'm running for the Mass General Pediatric Cancer Team.
Oh my gosh.
And I am beyond excited.
And how much did you win tonight?
I think 1944.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Is this going to help you with your fundraising overall?
Yes. I mean, I'm at 2400 right now, but I haven't had my big fundraiser yet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I raised 14,000 last year. So I'm really, really excited.
Can we get a picture with you and the other winner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We got to get a picture.
Peter, this has been very, very, very exciting. A lot of fantastic stories. At first, we interviewed a lot of fans of the show, some of them who became fans of the show last year at this event.
Right.
And then as the evening went on, we met a lot of new people. It was really fun.
While the numbers were in our favor, Brian, there was well over 100 people in this little room.
It was very busy. People came for the classes.
Yes.
For the beers.
Yes.
For the discount on the great running attire.
And for the community. I mean, these people are raising a lot of money for their charities, and I can't get over the two people who won tonight. One $400 winner, one $1,900-plus winner. I mean, those numbers, that's huge.
That's huge, and it's not like you can over-raise for your charity. You know, because all of these charities are so worthwhile. They do so much great work, and they're so integral.
That's right.
Many of them integral to the city of Boston.
That's right.
That it's not like you're going to raise too much money, you know what I mean?
No, and anything we can do to help facilitate that, because I'm sure everybody came here just to see us. I mean, let's face it, we were the big draw.
No one comes to see us, Peter. They come. No. Maybe they listen. No one comes to see us.
No one even knows we're still here, Brian. You know what? Before we leave, let's say thank you to Dan Fitzgerald, the host and organizer. I think he has a few things he wants to say to us.
Okay.
Brian, we're about to be joined by the original heartbreaker, founder, entrepreneur, artist.
Sounds like manure.
Entrepreneur. Dan, was this the most successful Love Fest you've had to date?
This is by far the most successful Love Fest.
By a lot.
By a lot.
Because last year, the Blizzard Fest.
The Blizzard Fest.
Which we're reverse calling it now, right? Thanks to
history. It was a Blizzard Fest.
It was a Blizzard Fest.
It was more like an extravaganza, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
That's a little bit more like an extravaganza.
It was more of an extravaganza in a snowstorm. It was well attended, and we raised some good money for our charity. But this crushed that. This destroyed that.
Yeah, what happened? What did we do right?
Yeah.
What did we do right?
Was it the Eventbrite? Was that the way to go?
We used Eventbrite last year. We're not that creative. We didn't reinvent donation services.
Was it the logo?
Might have been the
logo. The logo is colorful.
People like colorful logos.
People like to collect links.
With hearts in them.
The choosing not to have it on the night of a blizzard.
It's probably good.
Choosing the weather always helps. We decided to try it on a blizzard
night. We're doing
this
on a Tuesday.
You're right.
Yeah.
So that kind of evens out the blizzard Saturday.
I expect my heartbreakers and my people to party every night of the week. That's kind of the... You got a long run to run on Saturdays.
Yeah.
You got to recover from a long run on Saturday night.
Yeah.
See, Brian, again.
So you better be partying on Tuesday.
Community.
We had nothing to do with this.
No, we were just here off to the side. Comic side men.
We are just...
We were room meat tonight, my friend. That's it. Fill in the room with
something
with
for Dan
people.
To point to. That's what we were. Guys, the front door's over there, and so is some two guys podcasting right. thing.
Go take a picture and then come and have another free beer. Dan, how excited are you about these new video running sessions that you have? And who are those available to, and how can I get some?
So tonight was our public launch.
Good night.
So this was our public launch of our video delivery of our Heartbreaker Portal's live treadmill classes. So if you're a member of the Heartbreakers, which if you can't make it to live sessions or the studio, it's $10 a month. And through that, you get strength training videos, full-length treadmill classes.
Dan, do I have access to you as a coach?
You have access to me as a coach. I do coach live Q&A sessions through a private Facebook group.
You're not ready, Brian.
Peter, once a week. I want to be a Heartbreaker.
Not ready yet.
I want to be a Heartbreaker.
You're not ready yet.
You're right. I can't even
May
run.
1st. May 1st,
Peter,
you can turn that on.
I'm recovering from hip surgery, so.
May 1st.
What we try to deliver is, and why we created all of the services is it's much, much more of a way to answer more runners' questions well and mm-hmm. deliver it in a high-level way. So that's really what everything we've created is. You know, it's like, oh, you're not sure how to do speed. We have speed sessions. You know, you're not sure how to map out a long run program for a marathon. We create marathon training programs. And as people want to be a part of what we do, we've really put all of our effort toward being able to deliver great answers to the questions in a fun, dynamic way that's also high level.
Right. It's not mapping the human genome for the first time.
No.
The questions are always the same.
They're pretty
runners.
Much the same.
They're unique to all of us who are asking them, but you know, they probably come in the maybe a dozen or
it's
two
funny,
dozen
you know,
questions.
When I talk to a runner about like, what sort of lifting should I do to get faster and stronger and engage my posterior chain? I can describe that. Or I can send it in an email, and if that's out there a million different ways to Google.
Right.
But it needs to be presented in a way that's engaging, and that you can use. You know,
it feels like it's for me.
So that's what I'm trying to do with all of our content: is take everything that an elite runner might use and apply it to anyone who cares about their race.
Right.
It doesn't matter how fast you're going to do it, as long if you care about it and you want to. Apply yourself to the best of your ability. We try to provide a vehicle through which you can do that for a low cost, because runners are also. They're kind of cheap. That's okay.
Running doesn't cost a lot.
That's the whole thing about running. You go for a run. You go outside. So I need to recognize that as the baseline, not try to sell this high level.
Yeah, I mean, if I wanted to spend money, I'd be a helicopter racer or a scuba diver.
Right. Exactly.
You'd be horrible at both.
And I feel like that the pressure's on us to deliver a high level service for a cost that a lot of runners want that would be willing to pay.
Yeah.
And that delivers. So that's where this idea came about.
Dan, we have been talking off mic a few days ago about the number of charity teams that you are currently coaching for. Is this a personal record for you this year?
I think so. I think it's 15 teams this year. We have about 600 runners that I'm coaching for this year's Boston Marathon, about 150 from the Heartbreakers and about 450 from charitable organizations.
Were all here tonight.
It feels like it.
There are many here tonight for sure.
How many of them ask the question, well, I can't run this Wednesday, what do I do?
I probably get that, 15 to 20 times a week.
Yeah.
I can't do what's on the program, what do you recommend?
It's just a guide.
It's just a guide.
Just look at whatever it says tomorrow and do that tomorrow.
I didn't invent anything that we're selling, right? I mean...
Right.
It's really just trying to package it in a way that answers all the questions in a fun way.
Well, I have to say,
though, it makes people want to do it and understand it. You know, demystifying it. I don't like to use jargon terms that really annoys me when people use exclusionary language. So if it looks like you're hopping on your leg to do this exercise, I might call it hopping on your leg. It might be called plyometrics and, an eccentric plyometric, that's great. But, I'm not delivering master's degrees. I'm trying to get you to do what you need to do to make you a better runner, and that's it. So,
well, and I have to say, though, it
I don't
does
call it hopping on your leg, but I'll probably use the right
sense
term.
To me.
But then I'm going
to
deliver a video that shows you exactly what you should do, then make you think you need to spend a lot of money to figure out what those things are. That's where we're coming from.
And part of what I appreciate about it is that you can't say the same thing, and often the advice is the same, but, and I think you touched on it, which is, well, I'm not as fast as those people, or I'm not an Olympic qualifier, or I'm old, or
I'm Peter Villa,
or I don't weigh that much, or I weigh too much, or you know, whatever. My experience level isn't there.
Right.
So even though the solution may be the same, people want to hear you say it to them personally, and know that you're sort of assessing their personal situation.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think one of the things that I love about the Heartbreakers most is the fact that we have Olympic trials qualifiers. We haven't had an Olympian yet. That'd be a great goal.
I'm working on it.
Thank you. We have people who have just figured out that they can run for an entire race.
I'm working on it.
Even a 5K, you know, or a half marathon. And they discovered that through our programming, which is a really satisfying thing to see. And I try to bridge the gap and say, look, if I know Shalane looks great and it looks easy, it's not easy. It feels
she feels like you feel.
I know it hurts when you run. Yeah. She's figured out how to get her tune herself to the point where she can keep hurting like that for a long time. But it feels the same. It's more similar than it's different. If you ask Shalane if she could run for 6 hours, she'd probably say no.
Right.
And there are lots of people who finish the Boston Marathon in 6 hours, and that's a different kind of pain. She doesn't want to discover that. She doesn't want to do that.
I don't want to discover that.
There's a dose of sort of. There's a connection there and a respect between the two that the Heartbreakers, and that's my goal, is to bridge that gap and make people understand and be inspired by each other.
Have you been surprised about the growth of the Heartbreaker community over the last few years?
You know, it's been very organic, so it feels big now, but it's been small steps, and it's been a long time, and it's trying to figure out how to create the thing that people want. The cool thing now is it used to be, if you were a Heartbreaker, I definitely knew you.
Mm-hmm.
I knew where you lived. I probably knew your address. I knew what shoe you wore. Now I don't know that for everybody. I might know one of those things, hopefully. But it's good to see people like, oh, I'm a Heartbreaker. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah, I'm Dan.
How's your experience with the team? You know,
right.
I hope you're having fun. And it's been a really touching thing for me to know that I can help that runner, but not necessarily have to be next to them every run, you know, because that's not going to work for me to grow this business as it needs to grow. So, but the connection is really important to me. So to feel that, and when I have those moments, you're like, oh, I'm a Heartbreaker. I'm like, awesome. Thanks. Thank you.
It really feels like, especially for local races in Boston and Cambridge, that Heartbreakers are tearing them up. You know, you see a lot of Heartbreakers
there.
And I'm finding more and more folks who are, you know, more in the mid-pack, who are Heartbreakers, who are not only enjoying the community, but also getting the benefits of it and getting faster for the level that they're starting at.
That's the thing that's really important to me, is people say, you know, how do I join? Are you guys still accepting new members?
That's right.
Like, as long as our website's not down, yes.
Right. No, but I think it has a mystique to
it. You know, that's good and bad. It's just like, if you care about what you're doing and you want a little guidance, that's what we do. Yep. You know, we're not the club for, we don't have any learn to run programs. You know, you have to sort of self-define as a runner, or you have a race you care about to be a Heartbreaker. That's where we are. You know, we can't be everything. You know, a lot of companies will shift and be like, oh, we heard CrossFit's good. We're going to be a fitness company now.
Right.
Like, we're not that. We're going to be, running isn't going anywhere. Running matters to people. And we want to talk to those people in their language. That's what's important to us.
Well, Gorilla Bill just signaled that he needs help opening a banana, so I'm going to let you go, Dan. Thank you so much for letting us be here tonight.
Thanks, guys. Dan. Cheers.
Love Fest.
Chief Heartbreaker.
2018.
Love Fest. It was really fun.
Thank you.
Say hi to Edie.
I will.
Brian, this is bonus content that I didn't think we'd ever, ever record, but Justin, the silent partner of Heartbreakers, has requested the microphone. Justin, how was your run today?
First of all, I want to make a correction to what you just said. This isn't bonus content. This is premium.
This is premium.
Premium content.
Did I say bonus?
You said bonus.
This Actually, is what I meant was spend your bonus on buying the premium.
Anybody who's listening to this has paid through the paywall.
Yeah.
This is premium content. And I hope they're paying through the paywall to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to come on the mic, say a few things.
Well, let's do it.
Okay.
I have one question for you.
Yeah.
How was your run today?
I asked that, he wouldn't answer.
I was on the stationary bike today.
Was it a spin class, or was it just you and General Hospital?
No, I was at the local YMCA. Mm-hmm. Got on the spin bike,
yeah,
and just gave it for 40 minutes.
Yeah,
as hard just as I could.
Did you leave it on the seat?
And yeah, do you leave the seat?
I don't leave the seat. I don't, because I don't want to
embarrass the rest of the class.
I don't want the people behind me.
Yeah,
to get the goods.
To really get too excited and that's not.
Yeah, you don't
that's
give
not
free.
What they need. They're working hard. I don't
want
them to get
focus.
Jonesed up and hey, look at this guy up front.
Don't change people's goals. I hear you.
So I just stay on the seat and I just give it and I sweat a lot. But the thing about sweat is a lot of people say sweat is, they think about like really hefty, obese, like they're out of shape people.
Why is he looking
at me? That's actually not true. Mm-hmm. The healthiest people in the world are the best sweaters.
Yes. Is that because it's keeping them cool?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Because we know a few of those.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Lauren Madden right now. Big sweater.
Ellen London.
Very
they
fit.
They probably don't want us telling.
They're very fit, but they sweat a lot.
They probably don't.
Why did we pick two in shape petite women who probably don't want?
Because when they beat us up, it's going
to
be awesome.
To know how much they sweat.
But they should wear it as a badge, a badge of honor, because it's really.
Well, the badge keeps falling off because their shirts are so
wet. So wet. Yeah, so slippery. But I do want to. So I do have the mic here. I do want to thank. How was your run today? Because one thing I know is this is my favorite event of the year.
Okay.
We throw a lot of events.
Yeah.
And this is definitely my favorite. And having you guys here makes the whole thing.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
The feeling is mutual.
My gosh.
We look forward to this. We did it last year. I actually was a little concerned that it was not going to live up to the amount of people that came out last year.
Last year was mind-blowing.
It was mind-blowing. It was the first time. It was a snowstorm. We were like, wow, look how many people showed up. And this was like
crazy.
Huge.
Good.
Yeah. So the way my mind works is I'm the financial guy. Like Dan can't add 2 + 2.
He's the idea guy.
He legitimately is like, well, philosophize what's 2 + 2. And I'm like, buddy,
when we
it's
say
four,
two,
you
what
know?
Do we mean?
And so what I saw today was it was a 200% growth over last year from the donation standpoint.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. I mean, think about it. Like
yeah,
we
I guess so, right?
Just shy of a grand last year. I think we're near $2,000 this year, and then another $400 mm-hmm. for the secondary
that's
winner.
Right, so, yeah.
And again, this is not a lottery mm-hmm. or any type of gambling scenario.
Anyway.
It's a I forget the legalese,
it's a giveaway.
But it's a
giveaway.
Yeah, it's a giveaway. Yeah,
charity.
It's not a raffle. It's a giveaway.
It's not a raffle.
Yeah.
It's a giveaway.
So, do you guys want me to get off the mic yet? Or
no?
No, this is phenomenal.
Oh, okay, good.
What is your? Do you have a preferred location of the three heartbreak locations?
Like, where do you sleep?
Yeah, which is closer to home? That's probably it. What's the shortest
depends,
commute?
Depends which bar I end up at the end
right,
of the night.
Right.
So,
yeah.
At 2 a.m.,
South End.
I look around and I say,
oh, this is
what's
good.
The closest store?
This is good. Yeah. Wait, which key do I have on me?
And then which key do I have?
I always have all three keys.
Okay. You do.
But I look around, I say, which is the closest store? Sometimes I don't even know. Sometimes I'm like, I think I need to get Chinese food.
And then I'll make that decision afterwards, yeah.
But and Chinese food's never a bad decision.
Yeah, downtown Medford's nowhere near any of these stores.
Which store are you most emotionally connected to?
This is going to sound really cheesy, but it's where the people are. Like tonight, I was super charged to be here.
Yeah.
I think the South End obviously has a special place in
just
our heart because it was, the history. It's where we opened and that whole, it's your baby. But then, you go to Saturday mornings in Newton and you're like, holy cow, like how many people can we shove in the store? Yeah, and that's super
so
fun.
Connected to the race itself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's a hard question to answer, but. That's my answer.
Well, I think it's a good answer.
Yeah, I love the relationship that we've built up with you guys. You're actually really gracious to have us in and to build these events up. And I feel like I'm among friends here. So it's great. I want to thank you.
Thank you very much because honestly, we do nothing. It's unbelievable that you guys let us be here because we stand over to the side.
Yeah. We're two idiots that once ran a race together, and now we talk in a microphone.
Hey, you guys are just like Dan and I.
Yeah, same, thing. Same exact thing. Same exact thing.
Makes sense. It all makes sense. They call that full circle.
Which one of us is the hairy one?
That's Gorilla Bill. He's not here.
Oh, right. He's not here.
Right. Yeah. We need our own Gorilla Bill.
Well, I can come up with a couple things.
If you want Pterodactyl Terry?
Nope, that's been used.
I think I need to go to bed now.
Thank you, Heartbreakers. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
See you in a year, if not sooner.
Babushkin!
Igor Babushkin, I know that for a fact you are not running the Boston Marathon this year for a charity team. You are not currently a Heartbreaker, but I did see you on the running gym treadmill. Can you tell me what was your experience in that room?
I'd say it was a great workout, but I hated it the whole time. That's how I can say it.
Did you hate it to love it to hate it?
I did. It was like that. It was a love, very weird love-hate relationship.
Did it make you realize you really have to get out of the Clyde Army?
Yes.
How's that going, buddy?
How's it going?
How's it going?
It's going slow. I'm on like a yo-yo diet in the middle of my diet right now. I go up and down in weight. It's very bad. I'm really trying to be more I'm swimming a lot. So this was like my first kind of big run for a while, so I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I know I got a plan. I'm following the plan. I cheat a little bit more than I need to, but, you know, it's working.
You know I'm going to beat you, right?
No, you're not.
I think the last time we talked about this, Peter, you said you were going to crush him.
You know I'm going to crush you, right?
I think we're all winners as long as we get out of the Clyde Army, right? So, I mean, that's...
Honestly, even just a little bit closer to getting out, even if I don't get fully discharged...
You can't change the rules. You have to leave the Clyde Army.
We both have to leave the Clyde
Army. I'm tearing up my card, man. I'm tearing up that card. No more membership, baby.
Two fewer Clyde Army runners at Millinocket next year.
I think that is true.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Sign up as September 1 for the Crankle.
Yeah. Is there a How Was Your Run Today nutritionist by any chance that I could use?
Yeah. Stop eating your own weight in Cheetos. That's the first step.
Damn. Okay.
Listen to Peter. It's stone wheat thins and hummus, which are the real night.
Boy.
The
don't,
killer.
Yes.
Which there's no way
don't
that
eat
that's
after 7 p.m.
No.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
But like at 7 a.m., eat whatever you want.
Right.
Right, Brian?
Beats me. I don't know. I'm gaining weight like it's going out of style. When you can't run at all, it's hard to keep the weight off.
It's hard to keep the weight off. You look good, man.
I'm trying.
You want to go to the Mexican place across the street?
I do. I want some tacos.
Let's have 40 tacos each.
So let's go get some tacos.
Strap on your feed bag. Yum, yum. Yum, yum. Chomp.
Hey. Brian, this has been episode 120 of How Was Your Run Today?
We promised it would be here, and now it is.
I can't believe the Love Fest has come to a close, but that's just more reason to get to next year as soon as possible.
Mark your calendars, folks. It's happening next year.
Only we're charging triple.
Are we?
No.
But no, that's Dan's call,
three,
not ours.
Three times as many people
probably
will
Justin's.
Show up. I bet you we're going to raise more than $3,000, though.
That's a challenge out there to all our listeners.
That was a verbal.
Make sure you come.
Bring the money.
Peter, this show is hosted by yourself, Peter Villa, and me, Brian Gould.
You're right, and Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence.
Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Who does the music?
You know who it is. It's that Jeff Kornenberg.
That's right. Special thanks to Heartbreak Hill Running Company and all those folks.
Especially that Dan, and especially that Justin.
Gorilla Bill?
Him too. Hey, Brian, if you want a sweet, 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 sweet long sleeve tech shirt, all you got to do is show up at the Boston Public Library Saturday, March 10th, 2018, around 1 p.m. Bring some cash.
I'll be there unless Igor has already replaced me as the host.
Oh, he has.
Well, maybe I'll buy a shirt.
Well, it'd be good if you handled the merch.
I can do that.
That's a task you could be doing.
Okay.
For everything else, you should probably go to the website. That's howwasyourruntoday.com. Again, HWIRT.com.
Join us every Saturday with your SatStat Chats. Tell us how you ran, where you ran, how the weather was while you ran. And be sure to include the sweetest of sweet, sweet, sweet potatoes. I mean photo.
For everything else, you go to the stuff and you do the thing.
And if you love this little here show, keep on listening.
Whoa. Bringing it back.
I love it.
Brian, next week we'll be back with another show.
And let's write the credits down so we remember how they go.
It'd be better, because this was not good.
This was a disaster.
We were just lounging by your fireplace on a rainy Sunday afternoon, and we're like, wait, we have a show?
We should probably do the credits.
Yeah.
because our audience demands perfection. And my mom.
Frame that. Goodbye.
Too topical? Frame that.
Yeah, Dan.
How much for the podcasters?
I have that Smokey the Bear thing, so it's, you know.
Ow!
Did anybody pay attention?
Okay. All right. Well, that was it. That was it. That was the interview.
Thanks, Dan.
I missed last words. Let me get a beer and put this down.
Popo Fofo.
Fla Fla Flohi.
Baba Buhai.
Fla Fla Flohi.
Fofo Fofo. Jackie Page, Joe Page Marlowe.
Dan, lots of pressure there. Sorry, guys. Dan, how are you?